Welcome to Women in WP, a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community. Hi, welcome to Women in WP. I'm Angela Bowman.
And I'm Tracy Epps.
Our guest today is Renee Morozowicz. Renee has her own business called Scenic Route Digital, which helps service providers create digital products. She also hosts the podcast, Your First Digital Product, at yfdp.show. We'll put that in the show notes. Welcome, Renee.
Hey, how are you both?
Great. We're so happy to have you back. So Renee was on a previous episode where we asked our usual question, which is, how did you get into WordPress? So we'll put her past episode into the show notes. But today, as we reboot the Women in WP podcast, we're interviewing other women in the WordPress space who have their own podcasts. And so our question for you is, how did you get into podcasting? And tell us all about it.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm not really into podcasts myself. I know that's like terrible to say, and I feel like you have to be in the podcast to have a podcast. So that's a weird thing. But I had been working with a few people who mentioned that people like to listen. And so it's a way for them to learn something without being in front of the computer, without having a book in their hand or, you know, looking at something. So just going about their day and listening and learning. And that really kind of hit me hard. And I was like, oh, okay. So that kind of makes sense. And I also really wanted to have conversations with people who had launched products. And you probably have experienced this yourself. If somebody's like, can I pick your brain? You're like, But if somebody's like, will you be on my podcast? You're like, sure. But it's really like the same thing. I mean, you publicize the interview for everybody and, you know, everybody wins. So that's kind of how I started, because I really wanted to talk to people who have launched products. And half of my episodes, I think I just released episode 55 at the time of this recording, half are interviews and half are just me looking at the camera talking about something. So that's an interesting thing too, but yeah.
I love that. So what is the most common question you get about launching a product?
I don't know if there's a common one, but I think I need to do some work on my marketing, because people are like, what's a product? What's a digital product? So if I talk to people in the WordPress space, they will think of like plugins and whatnot, which are fine, but I like to take the approach of having something that it's a little bit more hands-off. Like a plugin, you have to keep updating it, you know, your software, PHP, all the things are updating all the time, user support requests and whatnot. And that's fine. That's just a little bit more hands-on than I think a digital product really like could be, like a template, a workbook. People mostly think of courses, and courses are, you know, generally really big and kind of overwhelming, but I'm a fan of like something smaller. So I've been kind of trying to dial in my own marketing of like, I help service providers create smaller digital products like templates, workbooks, ebooks, guides, and toolkits. I don't know. It's my latest iteration of my elevator pitch.
Nice. I like that, because, well, I remember years ago when I was trying to, because I do user experience design, mm-hmm. and I would tell my grandma, I was like, oh, I do, you know, user experience design. She says, I don't know what that is. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, well, like, so I do the, you know, design and research and create digital products. And I went through this, you know, thing, and I kind of went through some examples. And she's like, yeah, I still don't understand what you do. Mm-hmm. I think that comes a lot, especially when you think about, because it's easy to say, oh, this is a digital, this is a product, this is a pen, you can hold it in your hand. And when you get into the digital side of things, it becomes a little bit more ambiguous. And people don't necessarily think of like a workbook as a product.
Right, right.
But it absolutely is.
Yeah. And I think those are even better, because like courses take so long to develop. And, you know, I don't know about you, but like my interest in buying a course these days and completing like a huge epic course is zero. Like I don't have the attention span for that. I don't have the time for that. Like, So I think that if there's something smaller, so you can launch it smaller, or launch it more quickly, people can get a win more quickly. I think it just kind of benefits everybody all around. And you can kind of get a taste of that because as a service provider, you're in one zone, you're in one frame of mind providing that service, and products are different. So you learn and grow and just it's something new and different. And I think that's exciting as a service provider because it kind of gets to be same old.
Yeah, the amount of courses that I have, and what I do is I leave the tab open because otherwise I forget that I have that subscription, and then something happens and all the tabs close, and then I lose everything, and right? But I actually just recently saw an example. Actually, my fiance alerted me to this because there was this. We watched this film as a documentary, and they had mentioned this book, and what she had done is she broke up the full book. I mean, the book wasn't even that long, but she broke it up into basically even really smaller chunks that were just very hyper focused on the different subjects of the books, basically like chapters. And I was like, that makes much more sense. Like, if I want to say, like, oh, how to do this thing, like, here, take this, small, booklet, this little leaflet even of this one chapter, and people are much more likely going to actually learn it. And then be like, oh, I want to learn more. Then okay, then find another one. And by the end of it, then oh, look at that, you read the whole book.
That's amazing. Yeah, that reminds me of the serial newspaper stories back in the old days when they public they didn't mass media wasn't like buying books. It was like you'd get the newspaper or the radio show that would like publish the little bit of the story weekly, and then maybe like many years later someone puts it all into a book. But people were in a way a lot busier then. They didn't have the time to just they you had to work the farm and like do
True.
different things to sit and read a whole 500-page novel, but piece by piece in one article in the newspaper, you might be able to digest it.
And like what's old is new again. Like I had Joe Casabona on the show early on last year, and he talked about how he had a course and it was very linear. And that I'm a linear person, like I'm gonna start at the beginning and then you tell me what the next step is, I'm gonna follow that path. But he said that people were coming to his product and like picking and choosing what they wanted, which like I don't know, but he kind of changed the name of it to like a playbook, so you can just go and get the piece that you need. And that's probably easier to build that way too, because you can create one piece, release that, create another piece, release that, and so it's not so overwhelming for creation or for consumption.
What do you think is the benefit? Like you talk about, you say you help service providers create digital products. So, like as a service provider, I'm sure when you talk to service providers, it's challenging to convince them, like, why do you need a digital product and how can you leverage that? Like, how's that going to benefit them? What are ways that they might be able to use that? I
Right.
obviously lead gen is probably one of them, but what else can it help them do?
So just like kind of before that, like I don't like to go into it like wanting to convince all service providers that that's what they need. Like I want them to be kind of problem aware, if you will, where they at least are interested in doing it, because it's the same thing. Like if you have a website client and you know they need a new website, but they don't know they need one, like the sell is so much harder to kind of get them to come along, and they don't, I think the outcome maybe is not as good. So I want people who at least have an interest or a curiosity about digital products. So that's the first part. But I think that with a product, there are a couple different ways to position it. So if you're getting a lot of inquiries for maybe people who can't afford having a product that's a DIY product could be really great. Be like, I'm sorry, my packages start at X, and if that is outside of your budget, I have product that is Y. So that's something where it's not tied directly to your time, but that would really depend on the kinds of leads that you're getting. Also, if you have people who are not quite ready to work with you yet, so an example of this would be a website client who maybe doesn't have their content ready. So having something that helps them create the content, they buy your little package, they go create their content, and they come to you and like, everybody's so happy. They're ready. The content's ready. So that's just one example. But That, or maybe a service provider that serves locally. So somebody who has local clients where they can expand their reach by having a digital product where they, you know, they can't, they're not really traveling outside of their geographic area to provide the service. But if I live, you know, 300 miles away, I could work with them by, you know, buying their package, learning more about whatever the subject is. So that's a way for them to, you know, increase their reach and maybe make some money too.
I really like that because the best clients that I have worked with, you know, kind of have that kind of knowledge of what to expect. And that it's basically like it's like training your client to be a good client, you know, and I think that is really great because people don't, they don't know what they don't know. And so when someone is like, you know, oh, I need this, and can you do this? And we're like, well, that's actually not how that works. You know, that the technology has these limitations, whatever that is. And I really like looking at that, having that digital product as a supplement. And it's been one of those things where I'm like, oh, I'd love to be able to do that. You know, what, when you're working with providers, like, and thinking, oh, well, that would be really cool. Like, how would I get, how, what kind of advice do you give to get started on doing something like that?
So I think the first place is really kind of honing in on that idea. So kind of looking, and if you don't have any ideas, I have like a quick worksheet of like places to look for ideas. But some
you
people
have
already
your own
come.
digital product to help
It's
your
well, it's so it's not a paid product, but so yeah, like lead
yeah.
magnets are essentially digital products. They just don't have
yeah.
a price tag on them, but there's an exchange, right? So there's an exchange for hopefully a valuable, you know, piece of information for an email address, or the next step, yeah, valuable, you know, instructional, whatever, for money. So yeah, it's kind of like the next step. So coming up with that idea, I think is the first part of like, what exactly is this product? Maybe what format is it in? What format do I like to create in? You know, so going and saying like, you have to do a video, and people are like, I hate video. Like, nope, that's not going to be successful. So figuring out the format, but then also figuring out who is it for? So is it for that DIY lead? Is it for that person who will be ready, but they're not quite ready yet? Is it for those people who don't live in your geographic area? Or it could even be for your peers, you know, so you've been doing this a really long time and you're like, I know how to run a web design business and I can show other people to do that too. So, you know, that's just another idea, maybe not as, that's not so much funneling into your same area, but an option, you know, if you're looking to do something else. So I think, yeah, kind of honing in on the idea. And then also really peeling it back. What people tend to do is be like, oh, and I want to tell them this, and I want to tell them this, and they need to know this, and I'm going to give them this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, to kind of justify in our minds that it's worth it. But actually pulling that stuff back and not overwhelming people is better for everyone. It's less stuff you have to create. You just have to find some confidence that the product that you have is good. You can get feedback on it. And it's okay. You don't have to add everything to it. Like, it's all right. Let them get that win with that smaller product and don't overwhelm them or yourself.
That's really good advice.
That's amazing. I mean, this just is blowing my mind because I've wanted to do this course forever. And I had a course, and then it became so outdated, the idea of like having to recreate this course. And then of course we've had, you know, friends in the space who've done these full blown things and had it all stolen from them. And then you've invested all this time and money and you get it all. Someone scrapes it and takes it all away from you, or, you know, and it sounds like, I love that idea of the easy win for both you and the person who might want it, because I had never really considered, I knew it was a hard investment on my own time to create something really big, but it's an investment on their time and they don't get the easy win. But if you can piece it out. And one thing I was thinking about when you were talking about the different purposes and potential audiences is your own current customer base, almost like FAQ kind of like things that they might come to you frequently with that you could have. I mean, you're not going to necessarily sell it, or you could sell it as part of your ongoing contract with them, that they have some of these, you know, almost knowledge base, but a little bit, you know, beefier than that kind of thing. I wanted to ask you a little bit about more about your podcast too, because I'm really looking through all of your episodes and I do see like you have a lot. What's amazing about your podcast, if any of you go to even just scenicroutedigital.com, you have the archive there as well of the podcast, that you have all those episodes where it's just you talking, but those seem to be very practical episodes, like where really, really trying to break it down for people. And then it seems like the interviews with the people are really kind of a little bit more all over the map, like just their experiences with their thing. And so how would you say people could engage with your podcast? Like where would you, if people were interested in creating a digital product and wanted to go to your podcast to kind of learn some more about that process, like where would you have them start in that, in, you know, the beginning or just?
Yeah, I don't know. So I think, and this is kind of how I consume podcasts, because I have become a listener. Once I realized there were other podcasts other than business podcasts, like I only read business books, and eventually you just kind of get tired of that. So I've been listening to some other podcasts. And what I do is just look through the most recent, I don't know, maybe 10 episodes, and like whichever one sounds interesting, like I'll just start with that one and then see, like, do I like the person, do I like the topic? And then I think from there, if those are yeses, then I can kind of dig in more. So yeah, there's no real pattern or outline. A lot of the episodes, a lot of the solo episodes come from conversations. So I love to have conversations with people because they have the best questions. Like one recently was like, why should I create a $50 product when my services are thousands of dollars? So I love questions like that, because then I can really dig in and I'm like, well, it's not $50, thousands of dollars. That's not the comparison. Like there's more to it than that. So then I can really kind of dig in. But it is a little bit harder for me to kind of think of those off the cuff all the time. So kind of relying on people. But yeah, I would just say, like, take a look and see if anything resonates. I try to really have descriptive, titles, and, you know, I've been trying to work on more enticing descriptions to kind of highlight, you know, the actual episodes. But if you come to me by way of someone else, like if I interview another person and you know them, but you don't know me, obviously listen to that one first and see if it's a good fit. And then you can kind of dive in from there. So that's not a great answer, but that's.
Well, I think there's just such a treasure trove here. Like I see
there's a lot at this point.
Yeah. Three easy groups of people you can sell your digital product to. So that's just that conversation.
That's a good one.
Having.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. That's a good one. She's like, okay, so people, that's February 14th, 2023. It's on page 6 of the archives. Yeah. Definitely. That looks like a, you know, but I love that there's just, I think you're right. I bet you could cherry pick any of these. And I liked your talking about how you're using a question someone really asked you as the catapult for that, those solo episodes. And that seems really brilliant. But then how do you pick the people you end up interviewing? Like, where do they come from? And
yes, everywhere, anywhere. So at first, you know, when you first start a podcast, you're like, okay, who's in my immediate circle? Like, who do I know of who? So basically the criteria is they have a product, or they have had a product. So, you know, that's kind of where I started. And then from there, you mostly like social media. Like I'll find someone maybe interesting on social media, Instagram or Twitter or wherever, you know, people are these days. And, you know, they've said something interesting, maybe not even related to products. And then I'll look at their profile and then I'll kind of dig in a little bit. And I'm like, okay, maybe they might be a good fit for this. So, and that's been really great because I've met some people that, you know, I wouldn't have talked to otherwise. And, you know, I really like that. So that's pretty much how I've been. Not too many people come to me like, hey, I want to be on your podcast. So I've mostly been finding people, but I would assume that after a certain point that maybe will be harder, or I'm really not sure if that's the way to continue. But so far it's just like, you have come into my orbit somehow. I've identified that you have a product. It looks like a product that maybe it would be interesting to talk about. Although I have had a couple people on recently. So an episode just came out yesterday where she's not talking about her products. She's talking about marketing your products. I also have one upcoming about social media that, again, is not about the person's products. It is about using social media to market your product. So we're changing it a little bit. Those are hopefully interesting to the audience. But honestly, like when I look at the downloads and the YouTube views, I don't understand why people are watching some and not watching another. Like, I have no idea why this one has 45 and this one has 8. Like, I'm not sure. So it's, I don't know, maybe I'm not keywording correctly or something, but yeah. Maybe yeah. That's podcasting 201 and I'm just not there yet.
There is no rhyme or reason to anything, I think. I follow this TikTok creator and she usually starts with like, don't be afraid. Everything's made up anyway. And I'm like, that's true. Yeah.
This is very
so
true.
Just make up other true. Stuff. Like, yes. Great. Perfect.
And sell it. $50. $50. Yeah.
One thing I haven't created anything around yet, and I feel a little bit anxious about this. A lot of people are talking about using AI to create your product. And I do think that that might be a good episode, but like, I'm not an early adopter kind of person. Like, AI is fine. I'm not like, oh my God, it's going to dig over the world. But I'm also like, I don't care. So I don't know. I feel like with any person that you listen to or engage with, like they have to resonate with you. So that's the kind of person I am. I have a t-shirt on right now. This is not like, that's just me. Like, I'm just kind of like low key. I'm not super interested in that. So I'm not going to go down that path right now. Maybe someday.
Yeah. AI can be really controversial too, though.
I know. It's,
yeah. Ooh. Being in user experience design and seeing in the ways that technology can be used to harm, and seeing that is starting to emerge more. When you say something and you, like, it gives you that like ick, and I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, that's yeah, that I don't know. I don't. Yeah. I don't know. I love following Morton on anything like digital ethics wise, because he has immersed himself in that and has such an eloquent way of being able to articulate their thoughts. So, but that kind of thing is, and so it's, that would be hard to do if you don't, if because you, it's, it changes so fast. Mm-hmm. And it's mm-hmm. so crazy.
Well, I would say the simple win with the AI would be like a ChatGPT. Just if someone's really stuck with their language, like how to approach it, it could just kind of help them just get a rough outline of what they're going to talk about, and just rather than staring down a blank page. And then they'll also see all the mistakes in the auto-generated content, and that might fire them up too. And I am looking at your archives. I'm just looking at your archives. There's this one, exploring the wheel of emotions on your journey to your first digital
yes.
product. And I'm
there's
like,
more
wow, that's
to
legit.
It.
This is not just about figuring out your audience and mm-hmm. who and what.
It's you're going like, to be sad. You're going to be mm-hmm. scared. You're going to be really excited. Like, this is an emotional thing that's not just like, oh, I'm going to make a thing and put it out there. Like, it's hard to hit publish. It's like you feel really great once you do. Like, there are certain things that happen that I want to make aware to people. So,
Tracy, have you ever made a digital product?
Kind of. Yeah. I have been in the boat where I'm like, I have this great idea and I start making it, but the way my brain works, and I was downgraded in college for this because I didn't have a focus. I was like, oh, I need to learn all of these things. And then that branched into that, and then that branched into that. So I started working on it, but then it's so overinflated and bloated that it took so long that I just gave it up. Like, I started working on a course, which was like code for designers, because I was like, there's easier ways. There's a lot of this documentation that's out there. It's like, development documentation written by developers. And I was like, there's visuals that you can give from designers' point of view to make it more make sense. And so if I would have had that advice of being able to just slim it down and maybe even like just this one subject and just this one piece and then release those things, maybe then I would actually have released something. But I fell into that hole of it has to be complete. It has to have, mm-hmm. I have to have the Encyclopedia Britannica mm-hmm. of courses in before I can release it. And I'm like, that is not sustainable.
I have a great ability to focus, but I also fall down that same trap. I have to be so comprehensive. And so I have to say all the things. And oh, if I'm mentioning typography, I've got to go through this whole history of typography. We got to talk about the Gutenberg Bible.
But it's like with like kids or, you know, anyone, even new potential clients, like, you know, that if you start to overwhelm them with the jargon and the things, and, you know, we bought windows a couple years ago and the person came to the house and was like this and this and this. And I'm like, you got to like pull it way back because I don't even understand the basics of the things. So I think it's so much more helpful when we give less or know how to start at the beginning or remember what it's like to be a beginner. And we can always build that 201 and 202 and 301 if we, you know, whatever those products are that are a little bit more advanced. And you might have ready-made clients then because they took your 101 and they were so happy with it and they got a win that they're like, oh yeah, you know, Angela has a new product coming out. I put me on the list right now because I know that the first product was so good. So I just think it's a little bit of a better approach all around.
I mean, I agree because that's how I consume content too. So I don't know why like I get stuck in that. Thanks, ADHD.
So Renee, what is your future vision for your podcast? Like, are you publishing weekly right now?
So I started in January of 2023 and, you know, I did every other, I think I launched 5 to begin with, but then yeah, solo interview. And then I paused in June, broke my ankle and then resumed. I don't even watch some of those, like, those ones that came out in July of 2023, because my leg was probably up on the thing. And like, I was in a different place. I didn't have my microphone. Oh, the whole thing. But yeah, so season 2 was
meds
like,
too, because that would be even more interesting.
Yeah.
And who knows what was happening with, like, I had to stay at my partner's. I only had a couple t-shirts there, like, but I kept doing it. And so then through, I paused in December and then started again at the end of January. And I have a lot of interviews recorded, but I think the thing with the podcast is it's all about like starting the podcast, like start, go. But there's no, like, I think I posted this on Twitter the other day, like, I'm at episode 55, like, now what? Like, is it time to optimize it? Like, is it working? Do I shut it down? Like, I'm not really sure, like, what to do next. Obviously, I will, you know, put out the rest of the interviews. And if I find people, I try not to interview people and then not put their episode out for 6 months. So I'm kind of on a pause now because I do have interviews, I think, scheduled through like June or July. So I'm not really taking many right now. But, you know, then when it comes, I might want to find new people. So I'm not sure. I don't know. I think all the jargon and all the talk is around like starting and less about like continuing, making sure it's working.
Yes. And that's kind of why I was so interested in talking to you today. And there will be like conversations that happen outside of this podcast, but I think we're in the same boat. We did we had some rebroadcasts, but like over 80 episodes, because we were doing it for almost 3 years and we did ours every other week. But it was like, where are we going with this? How long can we sustain this? There's certainly, we have a worldwide group of women we've interviewed. There's certainly a lot of women to interview, but like, are there new takes or like, how do we keep it fresh? And like you said, you know, the optimizing it, like, how do we then measure success? You know, how do we grow our audience? How do we, mm-hmm. how do we make it so it's not, you know, that, yeah, just becomes more and more successful rather than just like, okay, we have the same listenership pretty much. It's kind of flat, maybe, you right. know? And so and kind of taking it down into those bite sizes too, like even listening to a podcast episode is a commitment. And so that's where I've been thinking about these reels, you know, Instagram mm-hmm. reels and things like that, where, wow, you don't even have to listen to the whole podcast episode. Let me give you a really salient 5 minutes or 3 minutes mm-hmm. or 1.5 minutes, you know, it could be 1.5. Yeah. It could be 15 seconds, you know, of just someone saying something. Maybe that's just the quote or whatever that person needed mm-hmm. to hear that day. Like that piece that Tracy was just talking about trying to eat an entire elephant in one sitting, you know, mm-hmm. and if she can't eat the whole elephant, like, well, no, sorry, you don't get sorry, to, yeah. you know, you don't get to even come to the table and, you know, just never mind. So, you know, maybe we need to think about our podcast that way too. It's like, well, maybe we can even break down our own podcasts into smaller and smaller digestible chunks for people.
Yeah. You know what's really interesting to me though, because like, yeah, things have been getting shorter and shorter, but then, I mean, I don't know if you watched any of Risa Tisa's whatever 50 episode TikTok series of, you know, who did I marry, basically. And these were like, they were, most of them were 10 minutes long. So people were, this went viral, this long, like super long format content. And so I'm wondering if there's a pendulum shift towards people wanting more depth, but I don't know.
But it's depth in bite-sized pieces.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
And it's almost like a dopamine junk food, because it's like you get that 10 minutes, like, hit me again, yep. hit me again.
Yeah.
So they I could wonder. Be that, like, yeah. And I felt like that was what was why it was interesting to re-interview you again, Renee, is because we've talked to you before. And it's like, that's another thing. Well, we talked to you once, and things have changed. And you started this mm-hmm. podcast since we last talked to you. And that's a whole new venture. And so even if we've cycled through a lot of women in the world, we certainly haven't cycled through all of them, but we also haven't necessarily gone into depth with, we talk about how did you get into WordPress, but now people had a fascinating story in their first interview, but wow, I've seen a lot of people make massive career changes mm-hmm. since we launched the podcast. And it's like, that could be interesting. And maybe even with your podcast is like going and talking to people who maybe were just getting started with their first product at the time. And you could talk to them again, because they could be having this whole incredibly new experience and have learned a lot. And that right. continuing thing you were talking about, for sure.
I would like to interview people who are just getting started, but that's been much harder to find people, because they feel they're not ready yet. They feel they're not established enough, or don't have enough sales, or don't have a big enough audience. But like, I would rather interview someone like that than interview someone who's been selling digital products and is a full-time digital product creator. Like that, those are nice and they are valuable interviews, but I'd rather interview people who are closer to what I'm thinking maybe the audience is. It just has been a little bit more challenging to find those people willing to do that.
You need a reality TV show of like, you get someone and like you follow their journey. Like, we're checking back in with Tracy Apps.
Have you, how is it going? Like a behind the scenes of the actual process, yeah. right?
And I don't do like any marketing of, you know, the marketing that you see is like sexy marketing, right? Like $100,000 in sales, six figure creator in a weekend, like all that, like none of that. Like, we're not doing any of that here. That is nothing. Like, I guarantee no sales. Like, what you will come out of our engagement with is a launch product and ideas on how to market it. And then you can decide what to do from there. If you want to do another one, if you want to change it, you want to pivot, you want to pull it down, you want to give it away, like, you can do that. But there, I don't subscribe to like the sexy marketing, but that's like what people want, the fast and the quick and the easy. And it's not easy.
No, it's true.
So I am going to wrap us up with, this is a business you have that not, you don't just have a podcast, but you actually do help people and it's a service that you have. So if someone were listening to this episode and was like, you know what, I've been thinking about creating a digital product. Renee seems like someone who can maybe help me chunk it down and break it down into something that I could actually accomplish. How do they get started with you? And what is that process?
Yeah. So I like to do a call with people first, just to kind of like, let's just see if we're a good fit. You know, you probably found me from the internet, and not every person you find on the internet is a great fit for you. So I just have like free, like 30-minute calls. There's no like sales pitch or anything. We're just going to talk about, you tell me about you. I'll give you some ideas. We'll kind of see what you think. If you're like, oh yeah, I really want to work with her, then, you know, we can talk more about it, where we would go through, you know, kind of finalizing that idea, building a timeline. You know, I kind of hold you accountable. I'm like, hey, it's Tuesday. You said you were going to do whatever. Did you do it? That kind of stuff, which helps people sometimes, figuring out where you're going to sell it. Like if you already have capabilities to sell on your website, or, you know, there's tons of platforms out there, testing it, making sure it all works, and kind of coming up with a plan of like, how are we going to do launch marketing? How are we going to launch it? Who launch it to? And then like, what am I going to do ongoing? That's something that people forget. They're like, oh, I launched it, the end. Or like, here's what people do. Hey, I launched a product. And then like go about it. Like, no, that's not, you can't do that. Like, you have to keep telling people that you have a product, because not everybody heard you the first time, also because you whispered it. So we talk about all those things. And eventually I myself would like to have products, but as I recommend to people, I'm trying to follow those same steps where like building my audience to let them tell me what kind of product would be helpful for them. So that's kind of the same path. So it's, I liken it kind of to the WordPress community, where people who are running meetups and speaking at WordCamps are not like super duper famous developers. They're people who are just a couple steps ahead of you. They have maybe have a little bit more experience or a little bit more time in. That's how I position. Like, I'm not Amy Porterfield. I'm me, a couple steps ahead of you. Here's some information you might be able to use. So hopefully that helps.
That sounds fabulous. I want to go. I want to do it. And Tracy, I totally want to see this design, you know, web coding for web. For, I have an idea around that too, that I've been wanting to
well,
do forever.
Well, you know, it's funny because like, I, of course I spent so much time video editing and doing all the stuff just for like, yeah. So maybe I should just release out like the one episode that I finished or something like that.
Yes. Just do it. Mm-hmm. Just do it. People right. love listening to you. It could generate a lot of interest and enthusiasm. I think it would be awesome. I'll listen to it for sure.
Yeah.
Renee, it was just so great talking
Thank
to you.
You.
You're very inspiring. I think I'm so excited about your podcast and that we can promote it here. And I will put all the links in the show notes to the podcast, to your website, to your past interview with us. A million years ago, it seems.
I wonder
like.
What that was like.
I know.
You know,
I
you're
know.
Like, what did I say all those
what
years
were you
ago?
Uh-oh. I know. We've become entirely different people in just a short, you know, 1 to 3 years. It's amazing.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or join our Facebook group. We would be honored if you subscribe to the show. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. Finally, if you want to be on the show or know someone who would, visit our website at womeninwp.com. Until next time.